Check the Brisbane Aviators Open Day at Archerfield Airport this weekend. Fly an aircraft this weekend from $140. Google Brisbane Aviators to book.
Every Wednesday we have a look back in time at strange things that we used to do. Well, mostly it's been Brisbane and southeast Queensland, whether it's entertainment parks, whether it's old places that have shut down that no one's heard of in the last 20 years, all those sort of things. Today is Cracker Night.
Now, yes.
The joys, when did they ban Cracker Night? I was trying to
I was a little girl and I grew up in Sydney, so it was the same deal. It was called Guy Fawkes Night. It was November 5th.
Yep.
And yes, I was in primary school when it was banned.
Right, I was in primary school when it was banned too.
70s then.
In the late 70s perhaps.
Because there was just, representatives from the Royal Children's Hospital said, we've got to stop the burns. The horrific burns and the loss of eyes.
Too many kids,
Fingers.
And
it's like, oh, right. So a couple of kids get burnt and it ruins everyone's fun.
That's right. That's what I remember. I was lamenting this the other night. Now, don't judge me and my friends by... I was over at an oyster lease over at Stratty last weekend, all right? And we'd been working hard during the day, but we'd had a couple, all right? So
couple?
A couple. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how many letterboxes we used to
just
blow up.
Just breathe into the bag, please, sir. We'll decide how many you've had.
We'll have a listen to this. I just want to play this. This is my mate, because we want to talk about, we don't want to talk about, oh, Cracker Night was really joyous. I want the absolute disasters that occurred on Cracker Night. That's what we're looking for. Listen to my mate Dougie tell us a story about what happened at his place. And this is one of the reasons they probably banned him.
My uncle came down from Warwick for Cracker Night. Brought down a whole heap of...
what year?
In the 80s.
Yeah.
We decided to put a whole heap of them under a Golden Circle pineapple tin.
What size?
4 litre.
Big one. Open or unopen?
Open at the bottom as a rocket. Set it off. It launched. It must have gone probably...
You're not going to like what we did with
20 metres into the sky.
Oh, my Lord.
The old man just bought a E.H. Holden.
Oh, no.
Came down, smashed into the roof.
You sound like that. You blokes sound like the old guys from the Muppets that sat up on the back.
That's Laurie Waldorf, just a couple.
I had to live into that because the other guy had a better. Oh, there was things getting blown up all over the place. We had a skyrocket one night, which was a light, and it fell over and shot into the house. Anyway.
What was that called? What was that? There were the wheels.
Oh,
Catherine. No, Catherine wheels.
Catherine wheels.
And the bungers.
Oh, well, Penny just bungers. Yeah. And that bloke was talking about tarpony, I think they were called. They were the sort of fairly solid ones.
The equation is that you're giving a child an explosive incendiary device.
Everyone had a piece of TNT. That's what the world was about.
Well, my brother has still got a scar on the back of his leg where Ronnie Schmidt from across the road
tossed one at him.
An enterprising Dutch boy decided to put a penny bunger down his gumboot. Just lit it and threw it into the gumboot because it's like, what can go wrong in there? Child's flesh.
You just used to throw them at each other.
Oh,
though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And letterboxes too.
Oh, they were terrible.
Blowing up a letterbox is a rite of passage. It's like, you know, bridge on the River Kwai. Up she goes.
Let's give everyone else a go.
I don't think it's like Bridge on the River Kwai at all. One Mato, Robin and the Moon Man.
I brought up that story. Those blokes were from Inala, Dougie, who you just heard. They had trouble there because after the Vietnam War, a lot of the Vietnamese refugees went and lived around Inala. Okay, Cracker Night sent them all around the twist. This is 75, around 75, 76. Them all a bit mad. That's one of the reasons they banned it. All the Vietnamese people were so petrified of crackers.
Yeah, it's called post-traumatic stress syndrome.
I know. That's what used to happen.
And on that note, let's talk to Helen of California. Hello, Helen.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Good. Tell us about Cracker Night.
Shall do. I grew up in downtown Morningside.
Yeah.
And in the early 70s, I would have been around 5 years of age, and it was a big street thing, of course, to get out for Cracker Night. And my neighbour's son, who was only a few years older, lit a cracker and put it in his pocket.
Ooh, rookie
just
era.
Just because it would be a fun thing to do. And, of course, even to this day, the deep, deep scar on his leg shows the... the trauma of, yes, of doing that, unfortunately.
Lucky he didn't blow his balls off, really.
Well, I know. Gosh, that would have been far worse, Lawrence. Far
early,
worse.
Early transitioning.
Crocodile transition.
When did you decide to become a woman? Soon after lighting the fuse.
Soon after it was no longer my choice.
John.
Good one, Ellen.
John of Caboolture. What happened on Crackernight?
Okay, so we used to live next to a park in New South Wales, and so it was Mum and Dad's rite of passage to do the biggest possible thing they could. And one night we had the friends over and he thought, well, let's blow up the letterbox for giggles. And that wasn't cool enough. So he thought, well, hang on, I'm going to try my HQ panel van and put it in the exhaust. Split the exhaust in half, blew the muffler off it. All the shards went through the sidewall of the panel van. Just destroyed it.
It was worth it, wasn't it?
His nickname used to be Mad Max, but, you know, well, he was just a nutter.
Killed the Sandman. That's unfortunate, isn't it?
That's Crackernight. Anything was fair game, Crackernight.
We should explain for those that were too young, because Brendo actually asked this question, why was there a Crackernight and why was it called Guy Fawkes Night? Ooh. So come on, Lawrence, go. Here's your history lesson.
This is Guy Fawkes apparently went to England from Italy in the 15th century to protest about what the English were doing to the Catholics, and supposedly was going to blow up the Houses of Parliament. He was a freedom fighter and a terrorist, I guess. And so what the English celebration was celebrating, you know, the death of all these Catholics at the hands of the Anglicans during the Reformation. So, yeah, that's what Guy Fawkes Night was. But essentially it was, for us, an excuse to set off firecrackers but also make a massive bonfire.
You'd make Guy Fawkes, because you had to have a big model of him,
that's
remember?
Right. You had the effigy, that's right. You'd burn bonfire. The effigy, like, there he goes. And no one knew what they were doing. It's just like Guy Fawkes was a bad guy.
And
let's burn
him. Andrew of Caboolture.
Yeah, morning, guys. Love your show.
Yep.
We had a couple of those Roman candles, used to fire out the 8 shots.
Yeah, yeah.
We had 3 of them taped together, and we had them sitting in some bricks for our camping, and the bricks fell over.
So horizontal.
One of the guys was pretty drunk, asleep in the tent, and when it fell over, it aimed at the tent. After about the third time it hit the tent, he woke up. Now, every time it hit the tent, the inside of the tent lit up like an X-ray. So all of a sudden, the first two, you saw him laying down. And then about 2 seconds later, it hit it and the head's up. And then it went dark again. And then about the fourth one, he's standing up. And every 2 seconds, you'd see different movements inside the tent while he's heading for the door.
Oh, beautiful.
We couldn't do anything to the candles. We were too busy laughing at him.
That's so good.
You can still do it in Bali. My kids were beside themselves last
year. New year, we were there.
Yeah,
it was sensational. You buy $100 worth, you can win a war over in Bali.
You can shoot a goat with a bazooka in Bali if you want.
Listen to this one. Steve from Mango Hill. We can't get all of them on air. Used to have penny thunders in slingshots. People with hair on fire, shirts were burnt. What a time it was. Why did they ban these things?
That would really hurt to be hit with a penny bugger and it explode on you. Wow.
Ben from Meadowbrook. We used to get the old tin metal trash can, rubbish tins. They used to get the lids and use them as shields. And just throw buggers at each other.
Okay. Peter of Ipswich, tell us about your Crackernight.
When I was a kid, I grew up in a place called Willoughby in Sydney. Hey. And I had 3 brothers, we were all terrors. We were throwing bungers around our backyard, and the young girl next door was sticking her head out the window with a ledge there. And so we thought it would be funny to throw a penny bunger towards her. Unfortunately, the penny bunger didn't go off. It landed on the sill right in front of her face and blew up. Well, that girl was Shane Gould, who went on to win 3 Olympic gold medals in swimming. And we reckon that she was so fast off the blocks was because of the Crackernight experience we gave her.
That is great.
Bang.
Bang, off she goes.
Thank you, mate.
A bit of trouble over that one.
I bet you did.
Oh, you can share in the honour. Well done, Pete.
Getting to know Moon. Getting to know all about Moon.
Oh, yes. It is day three of our new cohort, Lawrence Moonman Mooney, yep. And it is time to find out about your criminal history.
Well, really?
Well, day three. I gave him a couple of days.
I feel like I'm sitting down to a job interview just facing you two. So tell us about, have you ever been in trouble with the law? Mm. Listen, sometimes when it comes to personal responsibility, I'm found wanting. And that certainly...
I'm okay with that.
Goes,
yeah, because yeah, you've been found wanting before in the past.
That's right. Makes me look
yeah, better. I have been in trouble with the law. I think when you first guys, when you first met me and I started doing Malcolm Turnbull for you, I was a cyclist, not by choice, but by the fact that the powers
so
of beast had taken my driver's license from me.
Oh, so
I went drink driving. It wasn't, was it? Yeah, I immediately it wasn't thought drink it was driving. Drink driving. Good boy.
And I don't want to glorify any, you know, speeding or misuse of the vehicle on the road, but I was clocked going down East Link in Melbourne at 174 kilometres an hour.
Happened to anyone?
Are you insane? What were you doing? Was your wife in labour?
No.
That's a good run.
I blame Elton John. It was Rocket Man was playing, and it's a sweet song.
Are you one of those guys
I
who
think
drives
it's
faster
gonna be
rather than
a long, long time? So, in excess of 45 kilometres over the speed limit, you lose your license for 12 months, $1,000 fine, off to a safe driving course. Plus, you get 8 demerit points, and your car gets impounded, which makes you feel like a massive loser.
For how long? How long do they impound your car?
They impound it for 30 days. But
did you meet a lot of losers at the rehab course?
The lineup of people, first of all, at the impounding, you just think to yourself, I'm not one of these. It's like, listen, mate, I'm gonna use my ute until 4 o'clock. What's the shutdown here? So you've got to be in by 3:50. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Are teeth optional?
No, teeth are strictly no teeth allowed. So I said, I was in denial for a bit. I said, I'm not one of these. And then I went, yeah, I'm one of them. And that, the rehab course, basically the safe driving course, there was 10 men in the course. And Margaret came in her sarong. And Margaret was facilitating, and I said, so, excuse me, Margaret, is this a gender-specific course? And she said, no, Lawrence, you know, if there was a woman who'd contravened the road rules, she'd be more than welcome to join us. And I said, are there ever any women on this course? And she said, no, Lawrence, there's not. And I had the distinct feeling that Margaret had met my kind before. But the trouble was, there's 10 blokes in a room start telling about how they broke the law, and becomes glory stories. We're high-fiving one another in the end. It's like, yeah, so I was doing a burnout until both me back tyres popped and then the cops turned up. It's like they're watching us. It's like, yeah, they are. They're watching all of us.
Did you tell them you're listening to Rocket Man, and how did that go down?
I said I was listening to Rocket Man, and Margaret wrote it up on the whiteboard. She goes, Rocket Man, and then next to that, there's a type of person that I am. The type of lawbreaker I am is fantasy and escapist.
And Elton is your trigger.
And I was like, Elton's my trigger. Guys, I've got something to tell you. But the interesting thing, the most interesting thing was in court, because I got represented through advice from my management, said, yeah, you should get a lawyer. And so the magistrate said, has Mr. Mooney got a reason for breaking the law, driving at 170 kilometres an hour? And my lawyer said, Mr. Mooney feels as though the speed crept up on him that night. Mm. And that's when the magistrate took his glasses off. Like, when somebody who wears glasses takes them off, it means they're really pissed off. And he just goes, I refuse to accept that the speed just crept up on him. I was like, oh, no, we've made the magistrate angry. And that's when he threw the book at me. Oh, so, yes.
Tale.
I'm trying to, you know, walk the line.
How fast do you go when Tiny Dancer comes on?
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Incredible in recent weeks, the amount of free advertising that Amazon's got as they announce, oh, we're about to go. Oh, what an amazing company it is. Well, I watched last night on the Channel 9 News, Ross Greenwood exposed the fraud that perhaps Amazon is, and he's with us right now. Hi, Ross.
Morning to you all. How's it going? Now, I know they'll be a big force down the track, but they haven't got off to a brilliant start. Because let's say, for example, yesterday, it was pretty easy to spot it. Kindle is the thing that Amazon owns. It's its own product, right? So it's what helped to build the fortune of Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world. Yeah. But the Kindle was cheaper at Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi than it was on Amazon itself. Wow. Then we went and looked for a whole bunch of other stuff. We found, like, Samsung 55-inch televisions that were $500 more expensive on Amazon than what they were at either JB Hi-Fi or Harvey Norman. So we went through a whole range of different products. Some were much closer. Some, even Amazon might have been a little cheaper. So you've got to think about this when you're shopping. You've got to make certain you do the comparison. But there's a second thing, is that the prices will move. So I'll give you a classic example of this. Yeah. The Sonos Play 5 is one of those cool remote, you know, wireless speakers, right? Very cool. They generally cost about $650 to $750, depending on where you go. Yesterday on Amazon, they were for sale for $350. But you know what it's like when you go off to, you know, one of those travel websites and you go and get a U-Boot fare to Europe or something like that, and then you try and buy a second one, but the price is $500 more expensive. Well, that's what's happening here. There were only two of them for sale at $350 on Amazon yesterday. Once they were gone, I've checked this morning, the price for the same product, $700.
Teasing us and then all of a sudden giving you a fair whack.
Well, that's precisely right. A couple of other bits and pieces. Watch delivery. With many of the deliveries in capital city markets, you'll get your delivery free between 3 and 7 business days, but there's third parties selling on Amazon, so for some of them, you might not get your goods in time for Christmas.
So what are you recommending, Ross, that people go back to the more traditional way of Christmas shopping? Because there's only 3 weeks to go.
If you found the item cheaper in a JB Hi-Fi, in a Harvey Norman, well, why on earth wouldn't you just go and buy it, take it away from the store right now and have it in your hot little hand? As distinct from take the punt, it'll turn up in 3 to 7 business days. Like anything else, you've just got to look around the place, because it doesn't necessarily mean that every one of its deals are the cheapest deals in town.
You are the guru. Thanks again for the advice, Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man.
No problems at all.
Tell you what, look who has called us. Incredible. The Managing Director of Harvey Norman. What do you want to say, Jerry Harvey?
Lame duck Amazon.
Really?
Right. Well, Jerry.
They were talking about what's going on. Are they getting a free hit in your mind?
When you get that much hype and you're going to be that wonderful, guess what happens? You end up being a dud.
And what is the main problem with Amazon? I know that, you know, obviously you've got a vested interest because you're an opposition, but what do you reckon is the main problem with them?
Well, because they've been going for 23 years. They've never made a profit and never paid any tax anywhere in the world in retail in 23 years.
Thank you.
What a wonderful model this is. What a wonderful company. Their only chance is somewhere along the line they send every other retailer broke so they can take over and put up the prices. In my view, they should be barred. They should never be allowed to open in the country. All they're going to do is cause disruption, send a whole heap of people broke, not contribute to the economy. They are a till of the Hun, modern version.
Have you tried to lobby your government and say, why are we letting these people in, like Uber,
no,
before them, etc.?
No, because they take no notice. The government only cares about how many votes. Customers will get it cheaper, so Amazon's wonderful. We even had the regulator come out and say, predatory pricing, if Amazon do it, it'll be okay. If I do it, or Woolworths do it, or someone else, we go to jail. But he said Amazon can do it. Now, he didn't say predatory pricing, but what he did say was they can undercut everyone, sell below cost, we'll give them a holiday. They've had a holiday here for 10 years. They've paid no GST for 10 years. We've all been paying. They've been paying nothing. These people are dreadful.
But, Jerry, what's it going to do to your bottom line? Because at the end of the day, as consumers, we are going to go for the best price. And I guess you're, the one thing that you've got is customer service, but what's it actually going to do to Harvey Norman?
Well, we operate against not just Amazon, but Alibaba and a heap of others. I've just come back from Singapore and Malaysia, and our sales are going up, and we've got a lot more competition over there from these online giants than we've got here. We've got a shop in every town in Australia with 10,000 people or more. How are they going to compete with Harvey Norman? I mean, they're not going to get the soft ride they got in America. Harvey Norman and a few other retailers in Australia are going to go for the throat of Amazon. Don't worry about that.
No,
well, thanks for the reality check this morning, Jerry Harvey.
Listen, you need one, but so do I, OK?
Could you say Harvey Norman before you go for us?
Hardly normal.
Thanks, go, mate. Harvey, go, Harvey, go, Harvey, go!
Jerry Harvey from
mate,
Harvey
I
Norman.
Can't sing, but I'm better than that, OK?
You're all right. See you later, Jerry.
OK, bye.
Aviators Open Day this weekend.
Robin did.
Yeah, I went there on Friday.
Oh, really? You can fly an aircraft, apparently, this weekend for just $140.
My 17-year-old did.
Oh.
Yeah, like they've got all these planes and you can go and sit
just
and be
it.
A co-pilot.
You say, I'll take that one. I'll see you in half
but
an hour.
But he did actually fly it.
I know, it's pretty
like
amazing.
He was using the controls. And they've also got a simulator, so you can go and sit in the simulator and put yourself in any airport around the world and land and take off just by playing with the controls. So, yes, there's a big open day this weekend. I
awesome.
Went there because my son's very interested in doing aviation at Griffith Uni and he wanted to see what it was actually like to fly a plane. But when I was chatting to the pilot who took him up, they were saying that also at this open day, they're going to have drone training.
Oh, now you got me.
So people buy drones and it probably will be the number one Christmas gift this year for all ages.
I've already lost two. My son's lost two, sorry.
And here's the thing. People actually are not really clear about how to operate them effectively. So Ashley Cox is from UAV Air. He's the general manager. Hello, Ashley.
Good morning. How are we?
Oh, you got me turned on. Talk drones with us, Ashley.
Excellent. It sounds like you might need a few lessons.
Mate, we've bought two. Both of them were those $450 ones and both of them just win, got it, bang. Just too light, I think.
Yeah. Certainly with some of the smaller ones. We operate some quite big ones that can operate in heavy winds, but certainly some of the smaller ones you need to be very careful if it's windy at all.
Righto. You're a first-timer, apart from coming out and seeing you at Archerfield on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
What should I be looking for? I want to buy one for a child, for your child or for me.
Yeah.
I want one to go and show me where the fish are. That's basically I want to go out over water and descend. You know, you can't see it from ground level. It's an amazing fishing tool. What would I use?
First step I'd actually recommend, get your phone out. Download an app called Can I Fly Here? Single most important thing we can do is make sure we're not flying anywhere near helipads or airports that are going to cause trouble with air traffic. So first step. And then, drones that start from about $400 and up are going to be more reliable than some of the cheaper ones on the market that you can get for a few hundred dollars or even less. Those ones are fine to sort of fly around your garage. The really small ones you can fly around your living room. But once you start getting outside and you get into winds and something like that where you might be flying in near the ocean, then I'd actually recommend something from DJI, which is going to be up more around over the $1,000 mark. Something like a DJI Mavic would be perfect for that sort of use.
And how far away can they fly from your controls? Because I've seen drones with no one around. It's like, what is that drone doing?
Yeah, that's right. So we need to keep them within what's called line of sight. So you need to be able to see it. And you need to be able to see which way it's pointing while you're actually flying it. So generally on a clear day, that's about 400 metres, which is still quite a way. And we can't fly any higher in any circumstance other than about 400 feet or 120 metres.
Okay, so Marto's talking about using it for fishing. What other applications are there, apart from my kid who just likes to smash it into a tree?
This is a really exciting thing we're finding with drones is that they're being used in all sorts of, you know, amazing uses. Drones are incredibly useful now. We're using thermal imaging cameras for search and rescue, and we're using them in a range of emergency services, so police and fire are using them.
Cops are using them all the time, aren't they, Andrew? Ashley?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that we can keep a person away from a potentially dangerous environment. So, you know, railways are a really useful one now. If we can look at things going on the railway without putting a person in that dangerous environment, that's the perfect use case to put some of this technology in.
What happens
what
if
about
one
looking
hits
into
you?
Somebody else? What about looking into somebody else's house? What are the laws about that?
Look, the laws that surround that, it's still a little bit grey, but basically the way that it sits is the laws are the same as if you were looking into someone's house with a camera. You know, you're going to be calling the police. The police are going to be saying that you've broken privacy laws, and there's going to be problems with that. So the trouble that we've got at the moment is that we still don't have very clear rules about drone operations. People don't necessarily have to do training to operate a drone, so often they don't understand, you know, how they go about conducting a safe and legal flight. So, you know, the law is still trying to catch up with the technology. But if you're doing something like that, you're very much in the wrong, and you wouldn't be able to defend that if you got yourself in trouble.
What about, do they hurt you when they hit you?
Yeah, look, they can, and there's been a few injuries. You know, things like eyes and things like that have been injured by propellers, and you do need to stay 30 metres away from people as a minimum, and that's 30 metres horizontally. So just 50 metres in the air doesn't mean that you can fly straight over the top of crowd. So we do see people flying over beaches and things like that. It's very much not, you know, it's illegal, and it's not a safe thing to do. If something goes wrong with that drone, as you've seen, it gets picked up by the wind or, the battery, there's problems with the battery, that drone can fall out of the sky and it can injure someone. So, you know, for this technology to be available for us, we really need to do the right thing and set good standards, particularly for our kids.
All right, I feel like I know everything about drones now. Wonderful.
No, you
Ashley
don't.
Cox, UAV Air General Manager. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Not a problem. Thanks for your time.
If you want to see these guys, then go to Brisbane Aviators Archerfield Airport this weekend, and they're talking all drones. But I'm very interested to hear where people have seen drones. Like, have you just seen them cruising around South Bank?
Moon's made a claim that they do. There's a bit of beach perving going on too.
Yeah, I was on a beach and I could hear the drone. It was just buzzing around, and there was just not a drone operator to be seen.
He's sitting in his lounge room with the beaming into the big screen.
Do you reckon it's a thing in Brisbane? Do you think that they're around a lot?
I hear them at night time.
You don't?
Yeah. They're buzzing around. Where was I the other night? At Auchenflower.
No.
Yeah. These kids are just letting them go, and they've got, you know, they can go further than 400 metres.
I also know that, like in wedding photography and really big photo things that they use now, drones, that's
real
part of a package.
Real estate agents.
Real estate agents use it as part of their package. You can have drone shots done as an extra cost. Mark of Bald Hills, tell us about drones.
Yeah, there's one that flies over my estate there towards the gateway there, and one night it flew down pretty low, and the neighbour in my street just lost the plot and shot it down with a brick.
A brick? That's a heavy thing to throw, a brick.
Yeah, well, it was pretty low, but it had to have been pretty low because, yeah, he shot it down. He's saying apparently it happens quite often.
What did he do with it?
I dare say he would have either taking it inside or maybe throwing it in the bin.
I wonder who owned it. Do you ever find out? Did the drone master come out looking for his drone?
No, I don't think so, no.
What do you reckon it was doing? Perving?
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, a lot of people use them for, surveillance these days. It's unreal what they can do.
Oh, you could follow if you're suspicious of your partner, just follow them with the drone.
That's creepy. That is so creepy.
I reckon there's much more creepy use of drones than productive, helpful humanity use of drones.
We all know the number one use of the internet, same sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see if anyone admit to it, though.
Who else have we got?
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Bob of Toowoomba, have you seen a drone?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Bobby.
Yeah, how are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, drones. Do you want to tell us about your drone?
Yeah, I use it for flying along the gutters of the house and along the sheds, and then download all the info and then have a look at what gutters I've got to go up with and clean with my ladders.
What?
Oh, that's smart use, Bob.
Then it's good for annoying the dogs too.
Ah, but that's the main use, isn't it? Yeah. Just while you're
annoying the dogs. Something to the bottom of the drone so it could scoop the gutters out for you?
Bob?
I don't think I could afford that.
There's one, Robin, that, well, I was talking about taking them out fishing. There's one that you can put your bait on, okay, and it's connected to the line, your fishing line, and it can go out and has a release, bang. So if you wanted to, you can't throw 300 metres, obviously.
No.
If you're beach fishing, you can take it out.
If you could do a gutter drone, that's one of those jobs gutter that drone. I can't do that I have to pay someone
roof
else
painting
to do.
Drone.
A roof painting drone?
Well, there's creepy. Also...
Yes,
the illicit distribution of some substances drone. That's happening.
Into prison.
Too.
Have you heard that one? They drop them into prison.
What? They're dropping
drugs
into prisons.
And then off it goes.
And then off it goes. You know, FedEx is already using drone deliveries as a lot of the big distribution
Domino's,
companies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or one of the pizza companies.
Oh, look at us. Yeah. Full of information.
All right.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Hey, with the political side of things, you see Shorten's in a bit of trouble now with his five of his MPs in a bit of strife. And what it's done, it's got Malcolm Turnbull feeling a little bit more confident. He's been a bit down lately and hasn't been saying a lot. He finally got up yesterday and he talked about the foreign ownership laws. He got stuck into it.
Countering the threat posed by foreign interference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well... Well, who was that? Because that is an appalling impersonation.
It's Rich Uncle Mel.
Was that guy Lawrence Mooney, was it, impersonating me? No, it's not foreign ownership. It's foreign interference in our democratic system, Marto.
Oh,
so we're talking about people aligning themselves with the Chinese, for example. Andrew Robb, my former trade minister, came out swinging. He said he's sick of his reputation being dragged through the mud as if he's some kind of treasonous spy.
But isn't it about that Dastyari fella?
Yes, it is. And little Sam Dastyari's been having his bills paid for by the Chinese. Of course, he lost his position on the opposition front bench because a Chinaman paid for his legal fees, but now he made some political comments to a donor. And it's all about, you know, foreign powers donating to political parties to be able to lobby them and have some influence. So we're going to outlaw it.
So do you guys in Parliament, do you make fun of Dastyari, suggesting he looks like Mr. Bean?
Well, yes. I mock him for his height. Of course, there's no racial slurs. We're well above that.
Yeah.
But we always say, you know, who paid for your lemon chicken, Sam? who paid for your steak and black bean sauce, matey?
Okay,
well, we go right through the menu. Who paid for your Szechuan pork, your sweet and sour? Little bit sweet, little bit sour, Sam. Little Dastyari. He's not a bad guy for a pinko. He's hardworking. But
well,
he is a communist.
Jumping on.
And they want to steal your superannuation and ruin your lives. I mean, we'd all be living in Hessian suits, working in communes, if the Labor Party had their way.
Yes.
Vote Liberal, good on you.
Let me take you behind the curtain that is the show prep to the Big Breakfast, and that is how the three of us prepare for our on-air gig, and it is very, very differently. I'm guessing, Moon, because we've only had you for 3 days, that you go off and write stuff and be funny.
He watches Lethal Weapon at night time. That's how he prepares. What did Danny Glover say again?
I'm too old for this shit.
It's
sounds like Russell Crowe.
Greg Martin does things like read the paper and go and see our audio guy, Rick, and you know, generally looks
read
through his
paper.
Phone. And okay, right. Whereas I do things like go to the Daily Mail. And when Sophie Monk is not entertaining us, I find really interesting rock facts.
Which is obvious. Yes.
Hold on. Let's go back to the Sophie Monk. When has she entertained us?
Oh, I catch up with what's going on and whether people are saying her and Stu are still together. That stuff matters to me.
All right. Well, give me... All right, I'll pretend I'm interested.
No, are they still together? No.
Yes.
They're not still together, are they?
Yes, they are. And the reason why she says that she can't win is that every time they're out in public, people yell at them things like, go kiss each other. And they don't like that.
Hold on. Who said that that happens?
She did.
People yell out, kiss each other.
Yeah, like kiss each other and we want to see your pash. And she said it's awkward. So then paparazzi.
She's 40, isn't she? And he's 46.
No, she's 37.
Oh, 37. Oh,
she
sorry,
still wants
Soph.
To have a baby.
That's
come on.
Nonsense.
So
he's
going
to have to give her a pub soon if he stays with her any longer.
Well, he's
how many weeks you got to be with someone to get a pub?
Not long enough.
You don't.
Every 2 months, she's
she gets
a pub.
Yep. Well, he's got
it's
some good ones.
It's not a game of Monopoly. It's love. It's love, Marlo.
Yeah, it's true love.
Would you like these facts that I found
yes,
on the Daily
please.
Mail
right.
when not looking at Sophie Monk?
Okay. That's
okay.
What
and all of these are really interesting rock facts that you may have heard of rumours but are actually true. For example, Charles Manson actually wrote a song for the Beach Boys.
What's
true story.
Did they record it?
Yes, they did. He came out of prison in 1967 and he was shopping around a whole pile of songs that he'd written in jail, and Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys got hold of one and they recorded it.
It's good vibrations.
What a good jail song that
definitely
is.
Definitely not. Okay, Michael Jackson actually wrote music for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, what is Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh,
Robert?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Really?
Sega.
Boys.
It's the flagship Sega game. Yeah.
Thank you,
know, the
video
little,
game.
Little hedgehog. I can't explain it any better.
I know what you mean, but I don't know the music. Are you going to tell us what music it is?
Well,
let's
no, there's
sing
no
it.
Point because it wasn't a song. It was just all the background music. He was a massive fan, so he approached Sonic and said, you know, the hedgehog people, and said, please, can I do the background music? And
give me Sonic. I want Sonic on the line.
Yeah, who do you
it's
ring?
Michael Jackson. That's exactly what he would have done.
When you say he approached the hedgehog people, you've really got to enunciate.
Be clear with that G.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Do you want any more?
Maybe he misunderstood it. See your hedgehogs. I'll have one of those.
Speaking of seeing hedgehogs, Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, Tupac Shakur. Yeah.
Yeah, him. Who died?
Rapper.
A lot of people are claiming that he's still alive. It was all a conspiracy theory. However, Tupac's rap group, The Outlaws, have stated that as part of his request when he died, that they smoked his ashes mixed with marijuana.
Oh,
which?
Cool ass.
Zadig.
That's rock and roll.
That is go. Pulling a cone.
Yeah. Okay.
That is really, that's serious.
What method did they use? There'd be a lot of people driving along. What method did they use?
I don't know.
Did they skin a fatty or
was it a joint
a
or a bong or what?
See, this information
doesn't...
Oh,
come on, half-assed information. There's people tonguing for that.
Why? They mixed his ashes in whatever... who says they all did it the same way?
Whoa, Holland, you don't... When you're sitting around smoking the group leader's ashes, you don't go, I'll have... It's not like a smorgasbord.
It's
not a smorgasbord. You just
it's
get
all
into
in,
it.
Anyway, I've got many more, which we will do at another time.
That was awesome.
Hedgehogs.
Okay.
I love it. Good rock facts. Jeff Horn looking to defend his welterweight title against Gary Corcoran. You know it's business time and they're talking about making weight, that sort of stuff, Marta.
Yeah, very
yeah, it's problematic,
stuff.
Though, because if you look on page 3 of the paper, they have the promo shot that was taken at the Kangaroo Point Cliffs, and there are the two fighters, and one looks he's incredibly ripped, and then Jeff Horn 6 kilos overweight.
That's okay. Last minute training, he'll get in there, he'll defend his
what
title.
Do you mean last minute? You can't drop 6 Ks in the last minute.
It'll all be water and he won't have enough strength. That'll be the problem.
Mardo is doing stuff like that.
No, I'm not. Listen, I've just been fat lately because ever since we went to Hawaii, how long ago was that?
A month.
And no, it was longer than that. Well, not 6 weeks. Anyway, whatever it was, I was eating spare ribs, like eating ribs and rice and eggs for breakfast, and that's where it started.
And Mai Tais.
And yeah, I drank a lot of Mai Tais. And the week before, I'd been to South Africa for footy, so I put on weight. Moon put on probably 5 kilograms and I've been having trouble shedding it.
Mm.
And I realise we're going on holiday soon. I may have to take my shirt off occasionally. Is this how people lose weight normally? Because I don't normally fluctuate. This is the first time I fluctuated forever.
You
I'm
want a
too
summer
old.
Body. You want a bikini body.
Well,
they
I saw you with your shirt off recently.
Yeah, that's horrible.
We were at a photo shoot and you were getting changed and I thought I'm going to check Marto out.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you go?
Wallaby.
Yeah.
And he's in pretty good nick.
Nah.
No, you are.
Listen.
You're flat around the stomach. And I was jealous because I have ballooned. In the last 12 months.
What's your method? What's your method? Because I've lost some of this week, done a lot of sweating, but I ate a lot of fruit. But gee, that makes you go to the toilet a lot.
Mm. So how much have you lost?
I don't know. About 4 Ks this week.
In a week?
Yeah, grapes.
Jeez, that gives me the irrits.
Yeah, I will never get on the scale until I've had the 2 coffees and done the morning ablution.
You want every edge you can give yourself.
It's so not fair with blokes. You guys can shed weight so quickly.
Mate, we put it on pretty easy too.
Yeah, everyone puts it on. But blokes, you lose it super quickly. I don't know, it's just your metabolic rate or something.
But I know that you're speaking for all women because, Robin, you are very lithe. But is that discipline or have you just blessed genetically?
No, I'm not blessed genetically.
A rake.
No. I put on 24 kilos each child that I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, and but then, that's a child.
No,
as
no,
well.
No. I know, but well, okay. There was about 4 kilos that was a child, and then there was 20 kilos of vanilla slice.
How'd you get all that off? Yeah. So you can do whatever you like when you're pregnant.
Yeah, and I did.
Oh,
I would go on hunts around Brisbane for vanilla slices. Oh. They are my favourite tipple.
But you're very
they're
active,
magnificent
Robin.
Beasts. Pregnant women, aren't they? Because they are voracious, and they're
the
also quite.
Life.
Vicious.
Yeah,
you get in the way of a pregnant woman, they will take your head off.
Sausage roll.
I would strap my children, and as I kept adding to my family, I'd get bigger and bigger prams. And we lived at Indooroopilly, and I'd just go and walk the hills of Indro because that was the way that you could have your kids with you and also lose the weight. But it just takes so much longer for women. And there's this thing about, I think, that most women have about blokes is how do you do it? So if you're saying to me, 4 kilos in a week and all you did was eat less, you're kidding.
I ate a lot of grapes. Mm. Oh, I went for a ride, but I go for a ride every day of my life, a cycle.
So you didn't increase your exercise?
Kat told me to stop eating everything and she's taken all the chocolate out of the fridge.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
all
now
these
we're
things
getting
add
to
up.
The, yeah.
Well, come on. Everyone else tell us. We're trying to help Jeff Horn lose 5 kilos in a week. How would he do it?
Well, I don't think Jeff Horn does what I do because I just have to stop drinking a bottle of wine a night. Do you reckon Horn's on the goon bag?
There might be some people have lost a lot of weight. What about John from Zilmi? John.
How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. How much did you lose first?
Well, this is 15 kilos.
Yeah.
And this is going back when I was in my early 20s. I was fairly heavily into running, and my ambition at the time was to run for Queensland/Australia, which didn't end up happening due to illness. But my coach, who I had, actually instructed me to get high into my fibre foods, which basically eat away the fat. Obviously, I still had to have carbohydrates, but just not high. So
what's a high fibre food?
Fruit is good. You can have bread. Most breads are high in fibre, but just not putting butter on it. So he actually had me to have my sandwiches without butter.
What's the point?
I was pretty heavily into my pasta. Unfortunately, I had to drop that a bit. So I dropped 15 kilos, probably in the space not of a week. It was about a month, what it also did for me is it helped actually define my muscles as well. So going to gym and stuff like that. So that's just what worked for me. What worked for him might be completely different. But
no, that's good.
You know,
we'll go with that. Thank you.
So just quickly, John, have you kept the weight off?
Yeah, unfortunately, a little bit too much. I ran my last a marathon. About a year or so ago, and I was actually eating heaps, and I still managed to drop below 60 kilos. And my wife said, "I'm not running another."
You need to stop now. That's not making me happy.
We're all happy
at
for
all.
You, John.
Warwick, I'm not. Warwick of Narangba.
Hey, how you go.
Yeah, good.
You a marathon runner, Warwick?
No, I'm right on my mechanic.
You're a mechanic. How much weight did you lose?
Mate, I lost 40 kilos in 3 months.
Method?
Cycling and 2-minute noodles.
Hold on.
2 minute noodles?
So a regime.
You got a book in you here, Warwick. Cycling and 2 minute noodles. How much of both?
As much as you can eat and about 30 k's a day.
No, no, no. Okay. Are you saying 2 minute noodles, breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Yeah. Well, that's all I can afford, apprentice wages.
Right. Well, at least now you can fit under the car now, Warwick.
Thanks, Warwick.
Good work, son.
And Shane of Bribie, you were asking, Marto, for someone who dropped a substantial amount of weight.
Yeah, how much?
How much, Shane?
Yeah, I've dropped 81 kilos.
Whoa. Jesus. In what period of time?
I started on the 8th of November 2016.
Over a year.
So I was 180 kilos when I started.
Oh.
You're 180.
Yeah, now, that's it. Yeah, I used to get weighed on the Richter scale.
Oh, my God.
Told that one before, Big Shane. Now, listen, I bet you used to be Big Shane, were you?
Oh, no, I was just bloody ginormous, I reckon. I was a Goodyear blimp, pretty much.
So are you saying you're 100 kilograms now?
99.
And I reckon if you cut off all the skin, you'd probably lose another 5.
I've been very lucky, and I haven't. I've only got a little bit underneath the arms. The rest of me is all toned up.
Wow!
So bounce back. You haven't got a. Yeah. You haven't got a flap somewhere.
Okay. So
no flaps.
Okay.
How did you do it? How did you lose 81 kilos?
8 kilos a month.
The big thing is you've got to get your head right. And that's what it comes down to. If your head's not in it, the rest of you isn't in it. Simple as that. You'll give it away in no time.
Right.
So I use a lot of positive reinforcement, a lot of positive, videos, things like that, just to get your head in the game. And then for the first 3 months, I stuck to the Optifast shakes. And then for the last 9 months, I've been eating one cup of food 5 times a day. So you can have whatever you like, but only whatever fits in a cup measurement.
Oh, okay, amount.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just the size of it. And then it was absolutely no milk, no alcohol, no soft drinks, no bread, nothing like that. And I found now that I've lost the weight and I'm down to what my dietitian classes as my ideal size. Well, I'm actually below what she thought would be my ideal.
Wow.
I can't eat bread and that. It makes me absolutely sick. Bread and milk just makes me vomit or diarrhea as soon as I have it.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Thank you, Doug.
Mind you, the no alcohol thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's
quite a lot of bullshit. Piss off, Shane.
That's the big breakfast on Triple M. The Big Bash League, BBL 07, starts 20th December here in Brisbane, at least. The Heat taking on the Stars.
And the big question is, will Chris Lynn be playing in that fixture? Has his shoulder fixed itself up? Well, we got the man that every junior cricketer wants to be with us right now. Linny, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we all?
Yeah, good. More importantly, how are you?
Yeah, I'm going well. Going really well. I've just rocked into training now, actually. So another session on the physio bench, another net session. You know how it all goes. But yeah, the body's feeling really good. And I'm really confident I'll be out there for game one. Obviously not 100% fit, but good enough. At some point, I've got to bite the bullet and get out there. And I feel like that's the right day to do it.
You been watching the test at all? Does that grill your steak still?
Oh, yeah, if I want to go to bed, I'll watch the test cricket. I have been. You know what, the day night test is, I think it's great for the game because it gets people watching. It's a perfect time of an evening to watch test cricket. So, it's in the balance at the moment. So, hopefully we can look over to this morning or this afternoon. And then, it's game on.
I know it's too early to say, but what are you thinking for the Heat this season? What are the expectations?
Expectations. I'd love to just first and foremost make the semis, and then you're 2 wins away from essentially winning the competition. As you know, 2020 cricket, anything can happen. It only takes one player to have a man of the match performance, and hopefully that's on our side. Make the semis first, and then, as I said, we're 2 man of the match performances away from winning the competition. That's as simple as, I like to keep it, and, hopefully the luck of the bounce goes our way.
The other great slogger, Brendan McCullum, is he still with us?
Yeah, Baz is back. He's currently in Bangladesh at the moment. He's coming back from a broken arm, which he broke in the Caribbean Premier League. So getting a bit of cricket under his belt in the Bangladesh Premier League. So I think he took my contract over there
which is good. So he'll be back just a few days before the tournament. But, mate, it's awesome to have him around the boys. You know, you can't buy that experience, which he has, and I'm learning off him every day, on field and off field.
Now, Chris, as a spectator, the Big Bash is so much fun. Like, it's a real family night out. Is it like that for the players? Like, do you really get off the vibe that's happening?
Yeah, it is. I guess, under Baz and Dan Vettori, it's they simplify the game. You know, we play at 7 o'clock, of an evening. So the night before, we like to have sort of a team dinner or have a couple of beers and relax and enjoy what it is, because at the end of the day, there's more life than just cricket. Yeah, we're still trying our best, but it's such a good time of the year to catch up with your mates, as, you know, most of them all on holiday. So it's, you know, as I said, we just enjoy, you know, what's in front of us and not complicate the game too much, because I think, you know, we're not exactly the smartest bunch of cricketers, as it does in heat, but the more we overcomplicate it, the more we think about it, and, you know, the more we doubt ourselves. So we go out there, back ourselves, have fun, and, really play aggressive cricket.
Hey, mate, are you a fan of, you know, in baseball you get to keep the ball if it gets hit into the grandstands. Are you a fan of that in cricket?
Yeah, I am. I think, you know, especially if they catch it. Oh, I think the
you need a lot of money, carton of beer or something if you catch it.
Or something, yeah. But I am. You know, it's all about giving back to the fans, you know, putting thumbs on seats. So we want to introduce little things like that. And the only thing is, I suppose, with a cricket ball, some balls swing, some balls don't. Whereas, like a baseball, they're very stock standard, very similar, and they act the same way when they throw it or pitch it. Whereas a cricket ball, some swing, some don't. So, I guess from a cricket point of view, I can understand why they do it. But I think the Big Bash at the end of the day is all about entertaining.
Yeah.
I think we're getting more towards American sport, where it's, you know, not just the sport going on; it's the, you know, the activity and the entertainment outside the ground and outside the boundary ropes. It's really attracting young kids and females to the game of cricket.
And even though it's revolutionising the game and that there is a lot of fanfare and fun, it's nice to hear that there's some traditions continue, and you mentioned having a beer with your mates, because that's what cricket is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it, you know, it's a festive season, so it'd be rude not to.
Hey, Lenny, I reckon you shot a video recently in my backyard. Well, I know you did.
I did, yeah.
Was there anyone drinking beer that day?
Yes, there was. So it was a little bit frowned upon. I didn't have beer, and it was before training, but it was for a worthy cause.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you. It was those other blokes you were with. My bin was full of beer.
So they wouldn't start the ad campaign until the beers were cold.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, we're cool with it, Lenny.
No, it's all right.
Don't have to explain yourself to us, mate.
No,
Chris Lynn, big hitter for the Heat. Looking forward to seeing you play.
Too,
yeah, you've just started a new website and app. It's called playbook.coach. What's that all about, real quick?
Yep. So Playbook, it's an online platform where any coach can sign up, and basically he can name his own price, time and availability. And for any little kid out there, he's got the opportunity to be coached by someone. So we've got someone like Dan Merritt on there, Gretel Tippett from the Firebird.
Oh, every sport.
So every sport, not just cricket, which is the beauty of it. It's the best, well, it's the most simplest way to find a coach, book a coach and pay for a coach. So for any little kid out there wanting to, you know, try another coach whatever it may be. There's a platform there. And at the moment, we're just sourcing as many coaches as possible. Starting in Brisbane, then we're looking to go, you know, around Sydney, Melbourne, around Australia.
You might have done some rugby. www.playbook.coach is where you can find it. Chris Lynn, so looking forward to seeing you get back into it. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.